Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Perfect.
Well, wow. We're just Jim Dandy.
Perfect and Jim Dandy. Okay.
Well, these are the things that upset me.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about. Podcast is over. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. All right, let's just get it out of the way. If you like what you hear at the Mod State Podcast, go to modstate.com. Find more of our op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast and to our social media accounts. There we are done. Let's get to the meat of it.
I'd rather start with the potatoes.
Wow, guys. I just wanted to have a podcast episode, but okay, all right.
Meat.
You know, why is it everything that I've been saying recently, both on the podcast and just in normal life or whatever, it's just construed as gay? Like I say,
oh, it's not a Freudian. What do you mean it's construed as gay? Everything you say has to do with meat.
Maybe I have to work on my...
I'm not twisting nothing.
I just watched you eat a corn dog in one bite, man. I mean,
so you're not having Freudian slips. You're having Eltonian slips.
Okay. And
it's not us. It's not us.
Apparently it's not. You know...
Apparently you have a conversation you need to have with Sarah and possibly somebody else. I don't know what y'all do in Colorado, but...
Well... Well, anyway, today...
With that drum roll.
Yeah, so this podcast...
It's a joke.
Yeah, we're done. I have no idea what that was. So sorry about the equipment malfunction. I have no idea what... We just hit a speed bump or something. Was there an earthquake here?
Are they prevalent in Colorado?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Yellowstone might have blown up and...
Well, 3, 2, 1. Well, we're still here, so we're good to go.
We're doing this again?
No, we're not. I mean, 3, 2, 1. Like, Yellowstone just blew up, and we have 3 seconds.
God, super volcano.
Yeah, super volcano.
At least in this case, I mean, you're not going to feel nothing. You're just gone. It's like, so what are we counting down for? Like, hallelujah, it's over.
Yeah, I suppose. Definitely.
Dear God.
All right, folks. So
I don't want to limp away from this progressive rock.
Friday morning, after threatening to veto the omnibus or the budget bill, Donald Trump basically announced he had signed the $1.3 billion budget bill and will keep the government funded open through September.
Trillion, but do continue.
Did I say billion? Trillion. I'm sorry.
$1,300
to keep
the hogs had their way.
The whole government open until September.
That sounds like keeping the Marine Corps running.
Yeah, Mike Weathers and Trey Gowdy ran riot with the budget.
Well, so what was interesting about this? Obviously, this has got real far right conservatives outraged because it really is adding $1.3 trillion in spending. And the
let's park this thing. Well, not park this thing. Let's click into neutral real quick, shall
sure.
we?
All right. Good. Yeah.
Please. Let's clarify, and I'm genuinely asking because I just read the draft. If this is an annual spending bill, this is not adding $1.3 trillion to the deficit because we have tax receipts coming in. So is this an additional $1.3 trillion? If this is the spending bill, then that's not adding $1.3 trillion to the deficit and thereby the national debt, because we do have tax revenues, last I checked.
Yes, that is correct. You are correct. So it is, I think, overall what has...
Oh, I'm sure there's a deficit.
Yeah, there is a deficit.
I just want to make sure. Hey, if I'm wrong, please be like, you're old.
No, I believe you're right. I think what has people riled up is that there is more spending than they would like. However, they did manage to commit quite a bit of spending to the defense, which seems to have hawkish individuals fairly happy.
Yeah, I'm sure none of it's going to the people, and the fact that, you know, now you pay a copay for your family's dental work, I'm sure it's all going to useful weapons programs like the traditional Patriot cannon.
Oh, don't worry. We'll get into what it's going towards.
If it was for nuclear weapons, I could say, hey, at least, well, to some degree and some semblance of reality, that's forward thinking. I mean,
well, it sounds like
15 minutes.
It sounds like it will go, some of that will go towards those upgrades. But don't worry, we'll get to the specifics.
Damn right.
Obviously, the left is fairly outraged because it really didn't do anything for Dreamers or DACA.
And y'all are just ready to surrender anyway and let whatever commie take over, right?
Yeah, that's me. Just whatever commie.
Well, I mean, I didn't say it. I just...
Well, I think one thing that Trump said in his speech, and we'll get into the speech because I think this is the point of this podcast. Literally at the end of the speech... Yeah, at the end of the speech, Donald Trump said...
Get me Roger Stone.
he did not. However, what he did say was... The Republicans care more about the Hispanic population than Democrats ever have, which I was like, okay, well.
Rock me sexy Jesus.
Yeah, he went.
What does that have to do with the price of peaches in Uzbekistan?
Well, because people were complaining about DACA with no resolution with DACA. And he said,
we already talked about this in the podcast real quick, like. I'm sure Olson didn't waste his midweek day that way, but we did talk about this, how, again, we can't quote the name of the attorney, but it was a unique perspective on the fact that Republicans don't want to solve this, for the most part, we're generalizing here, but they're big business donors, they rely on the fact that white dudes and black dudes aren't going to work for $6 an hour doing A, B, and C. They want to maintain that illegal labor. On the other side of the coin, the Democrats don't want this issue solved either, again, in generality, because they want to use it as a campaign issue in infinitum. And the proof is in the pudding when President Trump offered over 1.5 million in immigration vouchers over what the Democrats asked for. Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, and you can see this because Trump insisted on a camera, they looked at each other like somebody farted. Okay? They don't want to solve this. None of them.
Yeah. Part of me wants to say that sounds completely conspiratorial. However,
reality? You were there.
No, I know. I do feel, though, that the... And I'm not excluding conservatives here. I'm just saying I think the majority of... progressive thinkers or people that consider themselves Bernie Sanders supporters and to most extent Hillary supporters.
I hate to break it to them, but neither one of them won.
I know, but the common man, if I will say that, really does want something done. And so I don't know if he's addressing the politicians or addressing Republicans in general as a population.
Well, in that case, the only one of those five that wants anything fundamentally done is Donald John Trump, because... neither of the two big partisan leaders from either side of the aisle were willing to move. I mean, they all four looked at each other like, well, what are we supposed to do with this? He just agreed to do everything that we demanded and then some. So naturally, they couldn't agree. That was the first time, look this up, listeners, and the two of you. It was the first time that the Democrats, with any Republican support, had insisted on a clean DACA bill that had never before been mentioned. But God forbid they couldn't, at that point, nobody could agree with the president. Like, well, we've got to have somebody to fight here.
Yeah.
Very 1984 of them.
I do think overall, like when I heard that, I think I was thinking more of the general population as opposed to politicians. However, I think he probably was addressing politicians. And in some ways is I don't know that he's inherently
right. He might not have known who he was addressing.
That's a perfect...
The coal miners.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into this. What a very good segue, my friend. All right, so we haven't... I feel like we've been very fair to the president.
And I just was.
You were. You were very fair to the president. We've had a track record of being fair to the president. And in no way, shape,
as or form. As Olsen said last episode, I want him to succeed.
Yeah.
Everybody damn well better.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's military experience. We do have reverence is not the right word, but a...
America.
We understand what the position is. And like Nate had said, we don't want to see the president fail. We don't want that institution to fail. And because I think there's a lot
to move.
There's a lot riding on it. However, I listened to this speech. I don't know why. I was driving. They had it on the radio. And I was listening to this speech. And let me tell you, I almost had to turn it off. I mean, I follow politics. I listen to speeches. I want the meat of the... Oh, God.
There we go.
I want the substance.
The potatoes.
I want the substance of the speech. And I want the policy, and I want to know what we're getting, right?
Back to Trump's meat injection.
So, but listening to this speech, it was borderline embarrassing. Let me tell you. And I don't know. It obviously didn't sound like it was scripted. No one wrote a speech for it. It was the president of the United States going off the cuff, and.
Was this just amateur hour? You think he was just ad-libbing the whole thing?
Well, let me read you some of the quotes.
What was Stephen Miller's forehead doing then?
It was beet red, I'm sure. Or not. I don't know.
Okay, but he's the speechwriter.
Well, he clearly didn't do a good job.
What did they say at Saturday Night Live?
Or maybe he did.
He has a blow-up doll called Mother. That's what he looks like.
Wow!
Oh, boy. What was the Stephen Miller... Onion article that said Stephen Miller takes a day off to go down to Children's ICE Detention Center to blow off some steam.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Stephen Miller.
That guy's a creepy dude.
And I will see y'all in hell.
He's a creepy dude.
He's just kind of weird. He's snaky looking.
Seriously. I mean, man, somebody's got to buff and polish that thing. I mean, he's got an 8 head.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Anyway.
Okay. So,
with that,
while we walk through these specific quotes, we can kind of break them down, and overall you can get an idea of what was in the bill, the way monies are going to be allocated, but however we're going to do it through the words of our president Donald Trump. So starting off,
you said it was going to be in the bill. I mean, by in the bill, do you mean inside of me? I mean,
boy. I don't know if Bill wanted anything inside of Bill. Maybe. I don't know.
Well,
okay. So,
at any rate,
the Donald Trump kickstarts this speech rather by referring to trade, because obviously we've had a bit of issue last week with tariffs. If you remember, we had a podcast talking about tariffs, specifically steel and aluminum, and talking about
everybody's saying it.
Yeah, and. Donald Trump here, referring to trade, says, we're negotiating very long, very hard, but very quickly. By the way, you can absolutely pull this speech up on YouTube. So if you think I'm bullshitting, by all means. So this is where the speech starts. And this is televised to the world. And here's Donald Trump talking about negotiating very long, very hard, but very quickly.
Stop it.
Again,
say it,
folks.
Say it one more time.
Again, folks, we're negotiating very long.
Don't say it anymore, man. Thank
very
God
hard,
we're videoing.
But very quickly. Okay. And, you know, obviously.
Okay, so we're back in high school now.
All right, so.
It's prom night and the date's already over.
Oh, man. Okay. So a couple things.
Russ isn't even off yet.
A couple things here that he's correct about. And one thing that continues to bother people like myself, and hopefully both of you, and America in general, I hope, is that it was a 2,200-page document, I believe, and apparently no one read it.
Yeah, that's your first problem right there.
Exactly.
And it's available via the Freedom of Information Act, but guess what? You could bake a ham in the time it would take you to read the summary.
Yeah, essentially. So we do have...
Who wrote it then?
Well, staffers and interns.
Matthew Stafford wrote that?
No,
what's wrong with Alliance.
That's what's apparently wrong with the United States as well.
They didn't read their own work?
Nope. No, they had a deadline and they had to. I mean, that's why there was a panic, because he said he was going to veto it and there was going to go into another government shutdown.
So they write a quick 2,200 page.
Yeah.
So Boehner's back now.
Boehner's back. And I mean, that's kind of why they were negotiating very long and very hard.
And very quickly.
But very quickly as well. So Trump did say they get together and they create a series of documents that nobody has been able to read because it was just done. Now, this is true. And I think this remains problematic with our leaders. But again, part of me is like, look.
Well, Pelosi said that, albeit in a more drunken manner, about the HCHA.
Yes, which was not a good look. But again, why we're going over this specific speech itself is because as I was saying, it was embarrassing. And some people probably don't think it is, or didn't think it was. But we were talking about this precast, that there is a level of articulation that I expect of our leaders. And I think he does well when he has a teleprompter. I still kind of, I got my fingers crossed, like, man, I hope he gets through this and doesn't say something.
Well, who the hell doesn't?
I never had a problem when President Obama went off the teleprompter. I didn't really have a problem when George Bush went off the teleprompter, because you know what? He's just a lovable guy.
I think you're confusing him with Reagan.
Well,
Reagan was lovable.
He was a lovable old grandpa.
He was in horrible B movies.
Was he though?
Yeah, he was. He was an actor.
Well, no, B movies.
That's why the joke in the Back to the Future movies. He asked Michael J. Fox. He's like, okay, who's the president in 1984? He's like, Ronald Reagan.
The actor?
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're right. You're right. All right. So anyway.
Yeah, he's a poor man's Richard Nixon.
All right. Gotcha.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. The hell you don't.
I don't recall.
I don't recall.
So well,
let's ears weren't nearly big enough.
No, his ears were not big enough. So this is where Donald Trump then moves into discussing the allocation of spending for this bill. And obviously,
Jesus.
Yeah, we do know that quite a bit of this, or there is an increase in spending for the Department of Defense. And
yeah, when's the last time somebody got elected based on spending cuts?
I don't.
I rest my case.
Okay. So he says, for the last 8 years, deep defense cuts have undermined our national security, hollowed our, and they just, if you look at what's taken out, they've hollowed our readiness as a military unit. Okay.
I mean, that's halfway coherent.
Coherent, but not factual.
Well, I mean, he's talking about the unit. I mean, I know what he's getting at. It's the wrong word, but I mean,
yeah, we're breaking down the speech here.
And think about it. It's like we talked about before in several episodes of the podcast. And again, I'm not the president's attorney, don't want to be. But we were talking about the facility in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, where it's like 8, 9, 10 football fields worth of aircraft parts from planes we haven't used since the beginning of Vietnam.
They have one in in Arizona and California.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of spending that goes on, but we know, as we all just started before we all got out, if you have a family, then you're going to co-pay on dental. We're not investing that money in the people. And like the Tomahawk and Patriot cannon systems, we're not fighting those conventional wars, however desperate I'm sure the American military machine is to fight one such war. We're not fighting those wars anymore. Or we're dealing with IEDs and whatnot, so it's kind of, I don't want to say disingenuous. I think it's more, the word is duplicitous, to say that military spending hasn't gone up or it needs to go up. You know, it's honestly, it's more complex than that.
Well, it's based upon technology now.
Well,
About feeding troops.
I mean, I guess as three veterans here, I guess we can speak to that to a level. I mean, y'all were probably more in the field than I was, but there are some truths to what you're talking about, technology buildup, and we'll get to that because he did mention nuclear and building.
We got nukes, knives, and sharp sticks,
and a bigger button.
And a bigger button. When you talk about maybe some issues. There's some things I take issue with, but it's politics in general to just pick on the other side. But he did say, as difficult as it's been, as much opposition to the military as we've had from the Democrats, and it has been tremendous. But we have tremendous opposition to create. Really, what will be the far? God damn, I can't even. Okay, by far.
The far or the fire?
So he says, but we have tremendous opposition to creating, really, what will be the far, by far, the strongest military we have ever had. We've had that from the Democrats. So he basically doubled down and said the Democrats don't care about the military.
So he put like double parentheses there.
Oh, yeah. So he probably was raising his fingers in quotations.
I almost had an aneurysm, but I did manage to parse through that.
Okay. I'm glad you did.
No, I'll wait till the end till the examples are done to give you. And again, I'm not going to law school, don't want to, and I certainly wouldn't apply to represent this administration. No offense to them, but there's got to be easier ways to get stomach cancer.
Yeah.
But go ahead and finish. But we do have some inside knowledge as to why. How this comes about.
Absolutely. He continues to say, it became so big because. Okay. It became
what
so
became
big.
So big.
Well, yeah, I had to stop. Here we go. It said
meat.
The bill, I think.
It
became so big because we need to take care of our military, and because the Democrats, who don't believe in that, added things they wanted in order to get their votes. So again, tripling down on Democrats not giving a shit about the military, which
Hillary and Nude around, you know, there's only so much I can do.
Yeah. So we'll move into national defense now. He does say, but national defense is a very important two words. Okay.
Wait, what's the difference of that in the military?
Well, we're moving to national defense in terms of military here, I believe.
What's next, the Department of War?
he says, we're spending a lot of money on nuclear, our nuclear systems, to upgrade, and in some cases, brand new, whether it's submarines, nuclear submarines, and others.
All right. You're just pulling this out. This is an ass pull, my friend. Don't say these things.
My sixth grade English teacher just passed out, and I give credit that statement. This is I'll post the link to the article I'm kind of referencing this off of. So I'm not taking
all right. As Jack Nicholson said, "Is as good as it gets. Think white and get serious." Like what? How the hell did this paragraph end?
That's it. He's talking about what we are planning to upgrade with the defense spending.
Oh, so, the nuclear.
Yeah, the nuclear.
Next up is the nucleus, the nucleotide.
The nucleotide. He also
hemoglobin.
He would also like to upgrade. This is a way of saying, look, we have to do a technological upgrade. We really need to keep on top if we want to be the best military in the world. If we want to be the strongest military in the world, then we have to keep ahead of the, you know, be the forefront in research and development and the forefront of the technological equipment that's out there. However, the way he says it is in terms of airplanes. He says total stealth. We're going total stealth. They're hard to find. They're hard to see. Therefore, they're hard to beat. It's very tough to beat a plane that you can't see.
Well,
do you know if we halved our military budget, we would still be the most powerful military in the world.
Yeah, very true. But we do need, as he said, the tanker aircraft is very important based on everything.
I ain't going to tank her if I don't know her.
We need more bayonets.
Yeah. Okay, so here the point of this. Obviously, we're going through what is in this spending bill. My whole point is...
You mean there is a purpose to this?
There is a purpose to this.
This exercise?
It's a twofold purpose. One, to figure out what's going into this defense spending bill that will have inevitably come back up in September when we need to refund the government
again. Why? Nobody cared in 2013 when they repealed the Propaganda Act.
Well, apparently they don't care because they didn't read this one. But
I can go sit on a plunger, right?
Yep. Essentially... And this is what he had to say on the military. He just said, so when you look at all those pages, a lot of that is devoted, a lot, to the military. So that,
Wait a minute. So out of the 2,000 pages about the DOD budget, his final assessment was that a lot of that is dedicated to the military.
Yes, that is what the president said.
Hot damn it, I swear to God.
So maybe
that man right there.
Maybe it's the right time for us to get back in because there will be more money allocated to.
Are you high?
No. Yeah, it sounds like I'm smoking something. But anyway, we've. I'd like
dude, I'm still trying to sag into the way where I'm like, look, I understand. I mean, we had one of the top officials from the Small Business Administration, former Mississippi candidate for Attorney General, and he was running President Trump's campaign in Mississippi, Alabama, got invited to do Florida. Obviously, a bright guy. What the hell is that expletive deleted noise? But anyway, so. I swear. Anyway.
I swear.
So the gentleman, he maintains, look, he would take his two long ways folded sheets of printer paper up with different notes. And at these rallies in the campaign, he was very well suited for this. And as soon as he saw that interest was dwindling or people weren't responding as fervently as they were before, he would move on. He's consummate in his ability to basically be a reactionary style speaker is the best thing to put.
Yeah.
It's almost like the gospel according to Donald John, you know, and the congregation said, amen, only, you know, with less melanin. But it's really tough to translate that to the big stage, if you will, with a teleprompter, because we do it all the time. As we were talking about precast, you know, relating a story of, well, she said this and that. Well, it's like I'm telling you a story about how we in core school, I don't know if Olson was there or not, but tonight a couple of guys and I dropped a 2-liter off this level of steps. It bounced off the pavement and it flew over this truck, but I swear to God it was within 5 feet of him when it hit the pavement. It would have killed this guy had it actually hit him in the head, but it flew over his truck and he was completely oblivious. And I was, all right, reporting for booty, I did duty. So it would be as if I'm giving a speech about this the next day, and 15 minutes in, I'm like, well, in the 2-liter, it bounced off the, and you know, when it hit the pavement, I mean, you know, it could have killed the guy. Well, you guys know now what I'm talking about.
However,
but the rest of the audience is like, what
is he talking?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about, man?
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, you did the good segue by the really, I didn't really segue that well. And that's.
I segged into your way, baby.
Yeah, you did. You segged right into my way. And that's the point is I don't know what style it is. And you can pull
it's,
up
stream of consciousness.
Stream Donald Trump's stream of consciousness is not. It's unlike any other political leader's stream of consciousness. I think we're all very aware of that. I'm not
bigly, Big but, Max,
Big League Chew.
Man, you
guys, hey, two Big Macs, two Filet-O-Fish, a large fry, and a large. But it's all negated by the large Diet Coke.
It always is.
That's every night.
That's the fat burning component of that diet, isn't it?
Oh, was it? Is that why the admiral said that?
I thought that was Melania.
230 pounds.
Yeah. So
woo!
I don't know why it frustrates me, because I feel like people aren't talking about it enough, and I don't know that it would change anything, or maybe people aren't talking about it because it doesn't matter.
But, or because Americans don't know an articulate human being when they see one or hear one.
When's
the last time a great orator emerged from this hellhole?
I mean, I'm certainly not trying to make the case that I'm a great orator. I'm not. I mean, I stumble over words. I have trouble articulating things. I'm not great. I'm also not the president of the United States.
You know, by comparison, I think you could beat their meat.
Throwing me off. Look.
Well, I'm just saying.
I like how that's just turned into the running joke for this entire podcast. But
this one.
Was it the last one too?
It's a theme now.
It's just a theme.
Yeah.
I'm just figure out how to break this. But
6 degrees of Nathaniel Bacon.
Of Nathaniel Bacon.
Carry the four.
I thought that was Sir Francis Bacon.
It was Sir Francis Bacon.
No. We ain't. Hell no. We ain't got no drugs. No.
So, I guess what is true is that it's really, there's real no point to point out. I mean, you can go. I'm doing it right now, and it's annoying. It's frustrating. I'm noticing myself doing exactly what I'm frustrated with the President of the United States, and I think I probably do it less frequently than the president does when he goes off script. But I think there's something that is true to what you're saying, that he really does know how to speak to a crowd or knows when to say the right thing, regardless of whether or not what he's saying is completely unarticulate. It's
the people in the room know what's in brackets. Like, I mean, if I reference, again, we'll go back to something we talked about, you know, pre-cast, when then she... Yeah, and when she started pitching the fit about the, and then, yeah, so I got in the car and left. Y'all would know if we reversed back then. Yeah. So he had enough of 5 hours of getting bitched out, so he left. The rest of the nation doesn't know what I was talking about. It doesn't make it a, I hate to use the term, it doesn't necessarily make it a bad public speaking style. It's just, it's very personable that doesn't translate on a national stage, and certainly not on the same level that President Obama had, and not on the same level that George W. had, and certainly not on the same level as President Clinton or Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Yeah, and maybe that's because we've been so used to articulate politicians that when...
Not that Blair is a fair comparison. I maintain he's the best speaker of our generation.
Yeah, he's a fantastic speaker. And maybe we've lived with politicians on that leadership stage who have been very articulate.
And Rudy Giuliani, I'm biased. I know he's a very good speaker. I'm not talking about the 2016 Republican convention.
Yeah, he went off the rails there.
I'm
serious. They're like, what, man? Oh, man, powdered my nose real quick. No, I'm talking about 08 when he was actually a legitimate threat. And then Gingrich in 2012. He could be very articulate, you know. Yeah, obviously, we don't have Kennedys in this generation, which they were the rock stars of their time, but we have had some good speakers.
I guess the question then is, I mean, you could make the argument that Ted Cruz is very articulate.
No, he's a good debater. Okay. I don't think he's very articulate when it comes to
speaking. He's a brilliant debater. He argued a lot of cases before the Supreme Court. I mean, I wouldn't call him a bad speaker.
No. And I guess the real question...
It's like Nixon wasn't a bad speaker.
I guess the real question boils down to, do we need articulate leaders if they can't lead? I mean, it's not like articulation comes with this backpack full of leadership skills.
Well, if you can't lead, then what is there to articulate? But
exactly.
I feel like in this generation specifically, where the average... I don't know if I believe this or not, but the average attention span is some 6-odd seconds... It goes without saying, I feel that one must have the ability to be articulate. Now, I don't have the desire to articulate anything to the current group of hooligans coming up. I'll put it that way. True. But I'm not running for office either.
That's very true. I would argue that you're fairly articulate, as we do this about 2 to 3 times a week. But
yes, but they don't like me. And that makes me sad.
You do it to yourself. It's okay, though.
I love you, man.
Well, it makes me mad.
It makes you mad.
Rattled with phlebitis.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's, and we've talked about this before on another podcast, I think all three of us have, that there is a level of expectation for those in leadership. And you're not going to change Donald Trump. You're not going to change his speaking style. There's going to continue to be YouTube videos that literally play that people are asking the question, what the hell is this guy talking about? But I can't deny that 50% of this nation find something in him that they can grasp onto. And
let me pose a question. As articulate as, and I mean this sincerely, as articulate and very well spoken as the constitutional scholar that was President Obama, how many, what percentage of everyday Americans could relate to what he was saying? It sounded more potable. It sounded more kosher. But when he would pontificate, so things are very clear. That great shining city on the hill. From Prime Minister Winston Churchill to Ronald Reagan, we want this dream to come true on the American streets for every child. How many people knew what in God's holy name he was talking about? It was just, it went down easier.
Well, it sounded professional. And maybe there were words he used that people didn't understand. Maybe he didn't relate to a portion of the population the way Donald Trump does. But I feel like...
Or doesn't.
But I feel like where we took someone that maybe was very professional in his speaking manner and... we'll move to somebody now who can relate.
I'm not criticizing President Obama.
No, I realize that, but...
I'm addressing the American people. Like, yeah. I think we're kind of nervy to say, well, this man's not articulate. Well, could you understand him if he was? I mean, we fired Dennis Miller, in my opinion, one of the best commentators aside from Al Michaels, from Monday Night Football because he used a word with more than three syllables.
He did. I know, and maybe that's part of me that's like, what are we doing then? Not that I'm expecting everyone to know everything.
We deserve Donald Trump. I'm sorry.
We deserve it as in not a positive. That's what you're saying.
I'm not going to respond to that one way or the other.
Look, I know what you mean. Like, I guess maybe, like I said, I don't expect every American citizen to be a expert in every GRE word that you have to go through for vocab.
Yeah, but we're talking about a nation where 50% of our high school graduates can't find America on an unmarked globe. And we had the temerity to question Donald Trump's speaking ability?
I want to.
What, find America on an unmarked globe?
That I can do. I absolutely can do that.
Cool.
You okay over there, buddy?
Yeah. Are you talking about finding...
He's about to eat the countertop. He's nodding off.
No, I'm not nodding off. I'm just... I heard you guys talking about finding America on the globe.
Can you?
Yeah, it's in the asshole, right?
America is the globe. Get it right.
Oh, you just point anywhere.
America!
Oh, boy. Well, look, I didn't want to go long-winded on this. And, we're at... about 40 minutes. I know I'm the time Nazi, but you know where I stand.
No, you're a communist.
You know where I stand with the president's articulation, which means that I need to work on my own articulation, so I need to mitigate this hypocrisy that I have. So with that being said, gentlemen, and for our listeners, thank you for tuning into the Mod State Podcast. We always are happy to have you.
This is not nominate, there are rules.
Smokey, there are rules.
Market zero.
All right. Well, gentlemen, as always, it's a pleasure. So until next time.
Au revoir.
Bye.
We'll see you.